Welcome back to the Axe and Iron podcast. We are here with Wayne Melligan from Pensacola, Florida.
Good God.
Wayne is the, you can find him on Instagram at Pirate Forge. And he's a knife maker, axe maker, hammer maker. If it's got metal on it, Wayne is sharpening it. Does that pretty much sum it up?
Pretty much, man. Anything with an edge. Even some ornamental stuff, man. Ornamental blacksmith. I've tried that a little bit too, but it's always the blades that always keep calling me, man. So that's what I do mostly.
Cool. Well, yeah, give us a little bit of your background. How you ended up in Florida, where you started, how you started, all that good stuff.
Well, I was born and raised in Pensacola, Florida. So I've been here. I've been here my whole life. Just a country boy, backwoods. Here in Pensacola, we got the backwoods, all the crazy rednecks, and then you got like 15 minutes towards the south, and you're at the beach, you know, with all the surfers and the beach folks. So it's just kind of a mix of all of that here that I grew up around. But, you know, it was always outdoors, always using knives, machetes, axes. So, you know, I've always had a love for it. I never thought that I'd be doing it as a source of income. You know, it's just kind of crazy. But no, when I got to college, I went to nursing school. I got my associate's degree, then my bachelor's science in nursing. And I ran an ICU, a 26-bed critical care unit, open heart ICU.
Jeez.
I was the charge nurse and the assistant nurse manager. But, you know, I liked helping people, and it was badass. But, dude, I've always wanted to work with my hands. I loved art, and I love fire. I love fire and metal, dude. So, like, I don't know. I got this crazy pirate bar. And one day I needed to forge a key for this big ass door. It's like a 4-inch wide door inside my pirate bar.
Wait,
and
you have a pirate bar like at your house?
Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah.
Like an actual pirate bar.
Oh, it's a fucking crazy place, man. We call this Castle El Bueno, dude.
Oh, my God.
I got
so
my house.
How close are you to the Redneck Riviera?
Oh, man. I'm big pimping over here, dude. But I got there's a creek that surrounds my property, so it's basically like a moat. There's
okay.
All kinds of weird shit in the creek, man. There's beavers. I had, like, this big issue with this beaver. Like, we'll get to that later, man. All
right.
That was a mess. I brought up. Me and that damn beaver went to battle. Bring that up later, though.
But, okay.
But yeah, what the hell was I talking about?
You had to forge a key for the pirate bar.
Yeah, so it's a Mortise lock. And a Mortise lock takes those big skeleton keys. So I bought the basic kit from like Home Depot, but it's only for like a normal size door, which is like a standard 1-inch thick, boring ass door. But my door is 4.5 inches thick. So
Jeez
I had to forge
Louise.
The key. So I was like, you know, I've seen these guys on that Forged in Iron show, whatever the hell the name of that show is, you know. They do. It can't be that hard. So I went to Harbor Freight. I got me that blue piece of shit anvil and a little map gassing. And, dude, I forged this key. I was like, man, that was really fast. And it worked. It really worked.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, I'm kind of good at this. And, man, and dude, it all just went crazy from there on out. You know, I kind of got addicted, and it took over my life, man. I worked as a nurse, but –
So, like, dial me in here. What time frame are we talking
yeah,
about?
Yeah, exactly. Like, how long ago?
This was not even 3 years ago. April 2017.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Yeah, dude, I'm just getting started in the craft, man. But
okay.
But yeah, I forged that and started forging some blades, and it just came really easy. And I don't know, man, it made me, I felt like I was reborn almost, you know, not to get all fucking weird and stuff, but I'm serious, dude. I was like, I felt calling. And, yeah, man, so any second I had where I wasn't at work, spending some time with my family, dude, I turned myself into a bladesmith, man, all night working, any off day, and just build it from the ground up, man.
That's awesome.
Sweet. And you're all, you're forging? Nothing but forging?
Yeah, nothing but forging. When I first got started, I was doing some forging and then got into some stock removal.
Right.
And there's absolutely nothing wrong with stock removal. There's not. No. But there's just a different... There's a different level of passion, and I don't know, man. You can't replicate it doing stock removal. The kind of love you can put to a blade or an axe or anything you make.
And you kind of gravitated towards that kind of piratey kind of. I don't know. What do you call your style? I don't even know what to call it.
Just like a rustic, man. It was kind of funny. It's like I don't. People think that I'm all big in this whole pirate thing. It's really I'm not. I'm just. Being me, and everyone's always like, damn, dude, you look like a pirate. You're a pirate. And I was like, hell, why not just play it up? But
Wayne, he and I, we met at Blade Show last year.
Oh, okay.
And we were both in the small room, right? And I saw you, you were across the room from me, a couple rows up or something, and he was wearing his whole garb. He's got his head thing on like he's wearing right fucking now. And yeah. I kept looking at him and like, you stood out from all the freaking people that were there. And I was like, I need to talk to that motherfucker. And it wasn't until... It was like Saturday night or something, right? Where we – and it was late. I mean – and I don't even know how you and I got in proximity of each other. I was hanging out with Ben Abbott, and we were like walking around. And I think we stopped and we were talking to you, and maybe there was some other dude named like Jordan or something. And I started talking to you, and then like Ben just like skirted off into the background and just like disappeared, and we're like – oh well, and you and I just kept freaking talking and
I think I scared Ben, me and my buddy. He's like this dude right here, fuck, he's got some damn energy coming off his ass. And he's like, I'm gonna back up, you know, because I met Ben earlier, and I kind of just got off in his face, you know, just kind of fucking with him a little bit. And I think he was a little bit overwhelmed between me and my buddy Randy. That was my other friend you saw, the guy with the big black beard and the.
Dude, saying a big black beard at Blade Show, like, it's 100,000 people.
that's what I was with. It was me, him, and some girlfriends of ours. But yeah, it was cool, man. That's where we met. But yeah, Ben did run away.
So maybe that's why we like moved over toward you, because you and Ben had been talking earlier on that day. But seriously, I saw you and I was like, that is one weird motherfucker. I need to talk to him. I need to hang out with him. And you and I, we hit it off. Like over several beers at I don't even know what time that was. I mean, it was fucking late.
Yeah, that was my second time ever going to Blade Show. But yeah, man, I just, you know, quite a few years back I quit giving a fuck, and I kind of just dress how I want and be who I want, and that's what you see, man.
Dude, that's the best way. Seriously. I mean, look at Chris Cash. He doesn't give a fuck.
I don't give a fuck. Not at all.
It's the only way to live.
That's right. So you do all your own sheets and everything? Is everything done in-house?
Everything's done in-house. Even that's fucking weird, man. Like, the detail that you put into that
That's right, yeah.
I would die doing that. Because you had four sheets up a couple days ago, and some of them had, like, crosses on crosses and fucking inlay stuff. Dude, crazy freaking detail stuff. Amazing.
And you had no, Wayne, prior to... starting 3 years ago, you had no background in this at all. Like, there was
there's some weird shit going on over here, guys. I don't know what exactly it is, but yeah, no background at all. I've never had any experience in leather work, no experience with any kind of blade smithing, no experience in forging, nothing. And that's the bad thing too. Like, you know, I'm having to try way harder than most folks. I don't have any experienced person to look up to or to talk to. It's just
that's good sometimes, though, because then you find your own way. You find your own style and stuff.
And you, in my opinion, you found it very quickly, because you not only did you stand out in a crowd just by visually looking at you. I mean, your work is a direct representation of your, like, everything about it is all you. And like, it's very unique. And even your Instagram posts, man, you have a whole fucking theme. Like, that's something that people just don't understand. Whenever they log on to your page, you know exactly what you're going to get. And it's all the pirate freaking theme thing. Every photo is kind of the same. And it just has this continuity that looks and feels great. And it looks and feels uniquely you. And a lot of people don't get that. They're just like, tra-la-la-la-la, post this, post that, what the fuck ever. And, oh, here are some of my kids, here are some of my dogs. And I don't give a fuck about that thing. Like, I want to know what you're doing and what you're working on. And, like, that's what your page is. So thank you for fucking banging it out.
Well, yeah. Dude, that's cool as hell knowing that you think that, man. Because, like, I say it a lot. I think success or anything like that is just being true to yourself, you know. And that's what I post. I post whatever the fuck I want and whatever I'm feeling. And I think when you follow that and you don't try to be something that you're not, I think, you know, it's really – it's nice, man. It really is. That's what I do. Just being me and sharing my love of the craft with everyone.
So you literally started forging because of Forged in Fire?
No.
No. I thought you said that's what you were.
Because of a key.
I need
but you said you watched Forged and Fire, I thought.
Well, I didn't even know it was Forged and Fire. It called it, like, Forged and Iron or some shit like
he
that.
He saw it, and he was like, those yahoos can do it. I can do it.
I just saw all these guys, you know, swinging these hammers and shit. I was like, damn. I said, if they can do it, I can do it. I'm kind of like MacGyver, man. So I was like, fuck it. I'm going to do this. And sure as hell, like, yeah, I got a crazy-ass pirate bar, dude. I moved into this house, the old Castle El Bueno, dude. Next to my house is like two stories, big balcony and shit. We jump off the back of that when we're fucked up, but it's a fucking nut house over here. But my shop's 1,500 square foot. And when we moved into it, I was like, what are we going to do, guys? I said, let's have us a big-ass Halloween party. So, dude, there was like probably 500 people. I swear to God, this guy looked like Hugh Hefner was walking around like some six-year-old with a bunch of hot-ass chicks hanging on him.
Oh,
but, dude,
God.
I think about six people got divorced after that night. There was naked people in the bushes. Fucking
oh,
just,
my God.
It was absolutely crazy. But, dude, we converted my whole shop into a haunted house. I mean, this big, elaborate haunted house we spent like several weeks making. And the bar was an office that the previous owner had, and it was like this ugly-ass orange. Everything was painted hot orange. It was his office. He was a welder. So I painted it all black, hung skulls and shit everywhere for Halloween, right?
Yeah.
And we had this huge fucking party. It was fucking amazing. And when it got done, you know, I had to take down all the Halloween shit in the main shop. I was like, but I want to leave this up in here. And, you know, what am I going to call this? Because I'm not a devil worshiper or anything. I don't want people to think I'm fucking evil. So Pirate Bar. It's a fucking pirate bar. Yeah. So that's how the Pirate Bar was born. This is way before I even made my first blade, guys.
Right.
That's how the Pirate Bar – and that was like 4 years before I even forged that key because the Pirate Bar kept growing. I built another room. Like the ceiling's all stalactites. It looks like you're in a cave. There's LEDs and glow lights and – there's shit all over the walls, like stuffed animals.
Wayne, you're not married, are you?
Hmm?
You're not married,
yeah,
are you?
Yeah.
Oh, you are?
Preacher's daughter. I'm married
no
to a preacher's
kidding.
Daughter.
Oh, my God. No kidding. That's awesome.
But I always keep a few pirate winches around, man.
It's oh, my God.
Holy shit.
Whenever you're a bladesmith, man, you're extremely busy. You got to have one that can cut the grass, one that, you know.
Oh, my Jesus. God.
One that
here
can
we
wash
fucking
my car
go.
For me, one
so, in your profile, I see it says you were on Forged and Fire and Knife or Death.
Yeah, man. Both
oh,
of them.
Okay.
Aren't you a Forged and Fire champion?
Yeah, man.
Oh,
I'm the Forged and Fire champion from Florida, the one and only Florida man.
Oh,
Forged
really? Is
champion.
That true?
Yeah, no kidding. No one else has ever won it from Florida.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. And then what'd you do on Knife or Death?
So, Knife or Death, man, like...
That show died, didn't it? So, I guess...
It died because I think they weren't casting the right people, man. It was
I
like,
gotcha.
I mean, fuck, my grandma could have swung a damn machete better than some of the people on there.
Yeah.
I hate it. I may catch some slack for that if they're listening, but...
No, who cares?
But the thing is, that was a badass show, badass idea behind it, you know, to take your blades and go through. Of course, man, it was like a match made in heaven for me. I'd only been a bladesmith for like 8 months.
Right.
Whenever I talked to History Channel about going for that.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I made this big two-handed guillotine is what I called it. And it looks like a competition chopper, but it's just really big. It's like 19 inches or 27 inches overall. But big two-handed competition chopper. And they just wrecked the course. Became friends with Bill Goldberg, the professional wrestler.
Yeah.
Me and him became friends. I made a guillotine for him. He's running around with one of my guillotines.
Oh, dude, that's awesome. Fucking awesome.
That's pretty damn cool. But yeah, I gave the whole thing away, man. It's my first time being around all the cameras, and just a stupid mistake. I made it to the very end of the thing. Me and another guy went to the finale, and I was chopping this meat, all these big pieces of hanging meat, and I was hitting it so hard that the shit was flying everywhere, and it wasn't falling. I wasn't falling straight down. So, dude, every pound you're shot, 40 pounds, is like 15 seconds. I had like only 20 pounds, dude. My time beat everyone's, but with fucking 5 minutes of penalties for one fucking stupid thing, I lost it. Probably missed out on $22,000.
Jeez Louise.
Because I would have won my round, which had been $2,000, and then a chance to go to the finale. But you know what? The two guys that did go and did win my season, because we were season one, was Jason Johnson, the pro knife thrower. He had and I can't remember the other fellow. The other guy had a long sword. And he
was he using an FS Blades kukri, or was that his own?
He was using one of Frankie's kukris, yeah.
Dude, Frank is an awesome guy. I fucking hung out with him in the Bronx at his fucking house a couple years ago. That dude is nothing but a fucking class act. I don't give a shit what anyone says about him. He's fucking awesome.
Oh yeah.
So who are you selling your stuff to, Wayne? The stuff that you make that you're posting all the time.
People all over the world, man. Mostly United States. Some folks from Canada. A lot of the Canadians like my blades.
How are you advertising? Strictly Instagram?
Just Instagram and Facebook. That's it.
Okay.
So I got you. You did a post. I don't know. Last week or whatever, I can't remember when, and I got on your website and every fucking thing is sold out. I want to see what these are. I want to see how much they are. I just wanted kind of just an average price of what you had, and then I wanted to see what the most expensive thing was and then the least expensive. So the least expensive was that little EDC thing, that little that looked really fucking cool, man. Seriously, I'm not an EDC kind of guy. I don't have anything in my fucking pockets, but that was cool.
It's a nice introductory blade, man. My thing is, a lot of times with smaller blades, you know, I try to do some occasionally to get out there at a lower price because not everyone's got, you know, $500 to throw down on a blade or more.
What is it? What is it that you guys are talking about?
It's like an everyday carry, like an EDC style like a knife.
Little knife.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, probably like, you know, probably about 7 inches overall. Okay. The reason why I like those, I try to do a couple here and there. For those folks that don't have as much finances to get one of the more expensive blades,
yeah,
they can get that. Or even someone else. Like I tell people, you know, as buyers, never spend a ton of money the first time or something. If you want, before you start dropping big money from that maker, buy something a little bit less expensive. You know, look at their fit, their finish, try it out. How's the heat treat? You know, and if they excel and do good, even at that, you know, lower price point range, then, hey, you know what? If this is what I'm getting out of a $300 knife, damn, I can only imagine what one of those $1,000 and up blades is going to be like, you know. And that's what I do, you know. I don't take custom work. I absolutely hate customs. I have about 5 requests a day. Please do a custom. And I'm so thankful that so many people want one of my custom blades. But it stifles your artistic, like, creation. Like, for me, if I'm always making the same damn gut hook Skinner, it's boring as hell. I'm never going to grow as a bladesman. That's the reason why I've excelled it and moved so fast for someone that's not even at the 3-year mark, is because I'm always just doing whatever comes to mind, you know. But yeah, but like the pricing stuff, I basically just create what I want, and then when it gets done, I think how much material money I put into it, and then how many hours of work, and I come up with that price. And it's nice because I throw it to the webpage. There's no bullshit. If some of these guys, maybe giving one guy a low quote, one guy a high quote, this whole thing DM for the price, you know, which a lot of folks do. With me, they go to my webpage. There's no bullshit. It's right there on the page. They see what it is. And everything sells, man, within minutes or sometimes a few hours to just minutes.
So each one of these blades, like I'm looking at your Instagram profile now, like you work a lot in your shop, put out a lot of shit. Every one of these blades is none of them are a custom order. They're just literally just blades you come up with in your head and you want
pretty,
to go make
pretty,
them.
Pretty much. Some of them are custom orders. If I got some folks that are buying a lot of knives from me, obviously I get to know them, because to me, it's more than just, this isn't a business for me. If I wanted to make money, I wouldn't be doing this. I'd be a nurse, man. I walked away from $38 an hour.
Right.
Yeah.
I walked away making $80,000, you know, to be a bladesmith and not making nowhere near that. But I'm following my passion and my love. And like I said, I'm not trying to make a successful business. I want to be a legend, man. So that's why I keep...
Shit.
Fucking right. You damn straight.
Those are some goals there.
Good God, that's awesome.
Let's talk about... So I see everything from knives to swords to axes to... All that shit is just you making stuff.
Yeah.
That's so awesome. And then let's talk about your shop a little bit. What do you got as far as tools? You have a power hammer press? Are you just hand hammering all this shit out? What's the deal there?
So I've got a Raymond Head tire hammer.
Okay.
It's basically like a redneck yep, power yep. hammer. Mm-hmm. It was designed by Clay Spencer.
Yep.
Yeah, a NASA engineer. But Raymond Head, Wetumpka, Alabama, made that thing for me. I've had it for about a year and a half or so.
Okay.
Fantastic. Eventually, I want to press. But right. for my style, what I do, man, that power hammer has been just – or that tire hammer has been awesome. But I've got three anvils. I've got – my first anvil is an 80-pound hay button, then a 202-pound hay button, and then my grand anvil – get this is
oh shit
400 and 46 pound German forged Sawyer's anvil.
Oh, cool.
The bitch is magical. I'm going to have to do a rebound video for you guys. I'm serious. The fucker just, it will not stop bouncing. It is crazy. So nearly a quarter of a ton.
Yeah.
It's awesome, man. It doesn't even make any noise whenever you hit it. But yeah, that's my anvils though, man.
Where'd you get that from? The Sawyer's anvil.
A guy named Bob Chapman.
Bob Chapman. Yeah, I know Bob.
Yep. So he snagged
that. Fucking know everyone, Chris.
Oh, dude, Bob's a huge tool guy up in Pennsylvania.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that's what I got. I've got another anvil too from Bob. I got a 5-pound Vulcan.
Oh, cool.
5-pound. And cool. I use it all the time, man. On all my leather work, all that.
Set rivets and stuff. Yeah.
Yep. Or yep. Even my blades. If I'm doing like I do a lot of copper in my blades, and if I'm doing like a the full tang, I'll put the hollow copper pins. And after I get it shaped, I will take a little punch and I'll hammer peen.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I flare the outside of them. And so you've got a mechanical connection as well as the epoxy.
Oh, okay.
Chris has an anvil for sale right now.
I got one of those French rhinos.
Those are cool.
Yeah.
What are the specs on that again, Chris?
It's 380 pounds. 380. And it's like... Cherry could be.
And you want like $500?
$1,500? No, I don't want $500. No, it's not five. It's not five at all.
It's 15?
Yeah.
That's a fair price, man. You should see anvils down here in Florida because there's no anvils in Florida. They're like gold, dude.
Yeah. I hear that a lot, actually. It's down south and out west our anvils are like scarce.
Mm-hmm. But it's worth it, man. I'm telling you, like, if there's anybody listening in and they're thinking about what kind of anvil to get, go as big as you can get and make it a good anvil. Because I'm telling you, it really, you honestly, in the end, you're going to need more than just one anvil.
You can always forge small stuff on a big anvil, but you can't always forge big stuff on a small anvil.
It really makes a difference.
Yeah, so, man. Wayne, do you know how big Chris's anvil is?
how big's your anvil, man?
How big's your anvil? It's like 600 pounds.
Yeah.
600-pound German.
You walk in and you're like, where do I stand? Because the fucking anvil's taking up the whole goddamn shop.
How do you move your anvil around?
I don't. It's 600-pound double-horn German with a... factory cast iron German base that weighs 420 pounds. So it's 1,000 pounds that have never moved since the day I put it there.
Well, if you decide to move it, get a cherry picker. I got a cherry picker from Harbor Freight, and I can find tools from there, but it works.
I have a forklift.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, speaking of forklift, how's your cleanup moving stuff?
Good. Going? It's going really good. I finished everything yesterday. It's looking really good.
I saw you out there.
Yeah, man, moving stuff around. I got pallets and pallets of tools that need to stop being neglected outside and eventually need to do something with them. But, yeah.
So how's all that, like, the...
It's going good. We're prepping for, like, we're going to put an addition on the side of the shop for a grinding room.
Yeah.
And then just have the area all cleared to get some groundwork done. Like we need to pour some dirt and level some stuff out and get some big machinery back there and equipment to start building the bigger shop.
So I got a question for you that I've been dying to ask.
What?
And I wanted to give you enough time because so I know that you're always you're a coal forge guy, right? Uh-huh.
Yep.
So with the new propane forge that you and Ilya and Matt built,
yep.
How do you use it? Do you like it? Like,
I used it last. Well, for these wrought iron hammers, I'm using it.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot easier to forge weld the 1045 faces to the wrought because you can stand the hammer vertical in the ribbon burner and set the face, whereas coal, you'd have to be the opposite way. And I have done them in coal before, but it's a lot easier. So. Do I use it? Yeah, I use it when I like.
Just when it makes sense?
Yeah, when it makes sense and it'll make my job easier, yeah. I mean, that thing gets so freaking hot. So
Is it a forced air? Forced?
It's a ribbon burner, yeah. It's a 12-inch burner from High Ridge.
They built this fucking thing out of like a missile fucking bomb.
Yeah, I don't
like
know what the tank was.
The tank was like this guy, like. probably 24 inches in diameter or something.
Yeah, it's 24 by 37 inches.
And they there's a whole freaking video, YouTube video on it. They like cast this freaking shit on the inside.
Yeah, we use 3,000 degree refractory and swole. We built it right. It's really good.
How do you all even know how to build that shit?
We just kind of like did it on a whim, like just figuring it out as we go. And it ended up working.
Isn't that kind of fucking dangerous?
Yeah. Well, the gas part of it. So gas, Pine Ridge supplied us with all the safety stuff and all the potentially explosive stuff. Mm-hmm. So no, that part of it's not dangerous. The actual building of the forge was just like, make sure it's insulated, make sure it's got reflective refractory. A lot of people don't understand that, like, you can't just put fire brick in a forge and expect it to get super hot. Like, it has to have some reflective surface for all that shit to bounce around in there and get super hot. So we just use, like, pretty much what industrial forging places use, Mazzot refractory. It's castable, just like concrete.
Dude, seriously, Wayne, I don't know if you know what we're talking about, if you saw that build or not, but if you haven't, go check out what's your all's channel? That Works?
That Works on YouTube, yeah. We did a whole build. We basically filmed the whole build out of the shop. We put everything up on YouTube for the channel. Nice.
Yeah, I'll have to check it out because I've got to build me a new forge here soon. I built my initial forge. It was a two-burner forced air forge. Uh-huh. It's only got like a 4x4-inch opening.
Oh, okay.
And then I bought a Majestic Forge, but dude, it done fell apart.
Oh, really?
Didn't work that good for me. So I need to build something bigger because I do want to do more axes. I want to do some. I need something big for axes and bigger blades.
Yeah, we got in touch with the guys from Pine Ridge Ribbon Burners. They're actually they've been in business since the 70s as a glass blowing company, and they developed the ribbon burners are. They're so inexpensive now, it's, like, ridiculous. When you compare it to a new gas forge, which, like, a small one starts at $600, you can buy their biggest ribbon burner is $280.
But then you have to build everything that goes around it, right?
Yeah, you do have to build everything. But still, I think we're in the whole thing for $1,000. So you can't even buy that size.
Sure.
It's 24... Inside diameter is 20 inches because you get 4 inches of refractory, and then it's like 37 inches long. So that's a huge fucking forge.
Yeah, it's huge, but
and
you know,
runs on 1 pound of gas.
I would not feel comfortable building that and setting that up. No, I wouldn't do that.
I mean, the whole thing of blacksmithing is dangerous. You start out by starting a fire. Everybody says be careful. It's like
as long as whenever you get that propane going, you light it off. You know, you don't cause an explosion because then you're just tuning it in. You know that, like for me, with the distance from the jets and the amount of gas pressure, propane pressure versus the fan, the blower. So it's just not too bad. You know.
Yeah. What have you been up to, Roy? I see you finally launched your giveaway, or is it not launched officially?
No, I'm doing it tomorrow.
You're doing it tomorrow, okay.
So, I got the, did you see that little, apparently you saw the little CNC thing. That was really freaking cool.
Yeah, that was really cool, yeah.
So, Beaumont is doing that. Metal Arc Knives, got his little knife in.
And then I couldn't listen to the audio on your post. I just saw the actual post. But is that little, is that a hatchet? Is that one of yours?
Yeah. So that was my, I said the post was something like, just in time for the coronavirus zombie freaking outbreak.
Okay. But that's one of your resin handles and shit, right?
Yeah.
So what all are they getting in the giveaway?
My resin handle, zombie killer, a $200 gift certificate from Beaumont, Metal Arc knives, a little small EDC knife, and then your choice of a belt pack from Red Label.
Oh, sweet.
So, like, in terms of dollars, it's over $1,000 of free shit. So
awesome.
Yeah, it's... It's,
and then people are just going to have to, like, is it going to be a tag a friend thing on Instagram or what?
Yeah, so, there's four people involved, so it's going to be just have to follow every single those account. Accounts. And,
yeah.
And then once in, you can enter as many times as you want. All you do is just tag someone in it. And it actually, it takes a long time to like compile all that shit.
Yeah.
Because you have to actually, the last time I did my giveaway for the Black Raven, I had over 4,000 entries.
Yeah.
And you have to go through, like, on my computer, I went through and selected all the freaking comments and put that in Excel and, like, did all sorts of bullshit stuff. And then random generator.
Wait, and you gave away a Black Raven? How did I not know that? I seriously didn't know that.
Thanks for following me and paying attention to me.
Yeah, how long ago was that? I remember that post. I remember it.
Was that Thank old? You. Like a long time ago?
I remember it because people were asking questions or something about it, like blah, blah, blah. And you're like, hey, what fucking matters about this? I'm giving away a free Black Raven. I think somebody was yes! like, what kind of handle or something or this and this? Like, who gives a shit what I do to it? It's a free axe. See, yeah. I remember that. Yeah, I remember that. I was that, what was up.
So that was.
I don't remember that.
I think it was maybe. No, it was. 30,000, 35,000, something. Okay. Something like that. Either way,
there's something else we have in common. You use Red Label too, don't you, Wayne?
Yeah, I'm on Team Red Label.
Oh, sweet.
I think we're all part of the team, aren't we?
Oh, yeah.
We are.
I was on Team Red Label. I got my finger this way on some 36 grit today.
Ooh,
this
nice.
Way. Oh, yeah, it was sweet. It didn't take the hide away. It cut it like a razor blade.
Oh God!
Oh yeah, right into the nail and everything. I was running the slack side, running some wood on top, and it went chink. Went in there for like 1 second, and I was like, "Oh my gosh!"
Well, I've got you. I got you beat there, man. Whenever I was making my post talking about joining up with Red Label or Razors,
yeah.
I wanted to make a really badass, epic photo. Uh-huh. So I got my friend here to take a picture. I had both of my grinders going. I got a Bader 3 and I got a TW90.
Oh, we were just talking about that in the shop.
And I was holding a freaking railroad spike in each hand. Uh-huh. And I was having to hold them down with both of those grinders, dude, going wide open with wheels, wide open with 36 grit edge force. And I was doing good, but I slipped up one time, dude, and just laid my whole wrist across the
thing. Oh, shit.
Oh, it's all healed up now, but man, it was serious.
It's still. I can see where it was.
The things we'll do for our sponsors.
it's all good, man. I'm not worried about it. It's like a tattoo, you know.
Yeah, Matt just said something about that the other day. He goes, "We ought to do that thing where we're grinding, we're holding something in two grinders." I'm like, "What are you talking about?"
Yeah, that's what I had.
He's like that guy from the Pirates Forge. I'm like, "What? What are you talking about?" That's cool. Yeah, that's funny you made that post about that 400 scallop stuff. I had no idea what that did.
And oh, dude.
Sent it to us, and Matt's like, it's if you don't want to cut lines into your material. And I was like, what? But dude. What I don't understand, and maybe you can explain it to me, I haven't actually asked Nicole, is why they're so skinny.
That I don't know, and maybe it's just for flexibility.
Why?
I know. Why? Because, okay, now here's... I got this really super sexy knife right here with me. I'm just carrying it around.
Check it out. All right.
If you can see it here.
It's
still in the works.
Okay.
Now, you recognize this guard and the little pommel piece here. Okay. Are from that wrought iron anchor chain.
Oh, okay.
That really old anchor chain. Yeah. So you can't really tell it much on this blade right here, but like some of the blades, you'll have like a little small thing.
Wait, you got anchor chain from Andrew too?
I don't know who I got it from. My buddy Trey at Comet Knives. Bought a link of it. Me and him split it.
Oh, so well, then that's where it's from. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I need some more of it. You know where some more is at?
Andrew.
Yeah.
I need some more of that stuff. You know, Pirate Forge, you got to have the old anchor chain.
Wait. Stop for a second. Do you not know who Andrew is from Blacksmith Tools?
No.
Okay.
Really?
You follow him right now.
I follow a Blacksmith Tools guy. I just don't know his name.
Yeah, it's Andrew. He's the one that has that link. He's got the raw iron.
I don't think he's
selling any of it anymore, though.
Well, that's why I need to find some more, because I'm getting a little bit low. But
anyway, tell us what you were
So the scallop belts, those Red Label Abrasive scallop belts, same thing, guys. I was like, what the hell are these? And when I get them, it's like only a 1-inch wide. That's so weird. But here's what it's for. Because a lot of times in your blades and stuff, you'll have like a finger groove. There's not much of a finger groove here. It's just a consistent curve. But if there's a finger groove, that little 1-inch belt will get up inside of that. If the belt is 2 inches wide, you wouldn't be able to get it all up inside of there. So being 1 inch, it's very versatile, and you can hit any of those contours on the inside or outside of the blade.
I think he's just making that shit up.
I'm telling you, whenever I was using it today,
in like 2 inch wide too for guys that don't have finger grooves. When we're doing like handle material, like Roy, like one of your axe handles, or like
you don't need it for that. Like whenever you're doing detail work, you need small stuff. And
I was under the impression that it took lines away, like you're cutting. Like, so like if you use the edge of a, say, I'll just say 120, and you're cutting wood, and you'll get a line if you don't keep the material moving, like if you let it stop for a second. And I thought it was for that purpose, to not create a line there.
Well, yes, in part, but the main thing for it is like slack contouring.
Finger grooves.
Finger grooves, or anything, it doesn't count.
Well, yeah. You saw what I was using it on. I was using it on the back, the underside of the pole of that fire axe.
I actually didn't watch the video.
I'm gonna rip your fucking face off.
You post 9,000 videos a day. I can't watch them all.
But you knew that I was fucking using it.
I thought it was a picture, honestly.
I did have one picture.
Okay, that's what I'm talking about.
I did a picture, and then I did a little freaking swipe up for Red Label.
They work great, and actually I talked to Nicole. I asked her if they could get some lower grit, because I think as low as they have it now is like 120. So I think she's thinking about trying to grab some 80 grit, because I was telling her if you try
wait,
to do
did
some
everybody
rough...
get 400? Because that's all I got.
No, I got 120, 220, and 400.
Maybe I do have other ones in the box then. I thought they were all 400.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, you're not going to do much. 400 is more of finishing, you know?
Like, yeah, I figured that out today.
But, you know, but see, hey, a lot of bladesmiths, you know, you see them, they'll take their old grinding belts, and they'll rip them up where they're only like an inch. They'll take their knife, they'll put it in a vise. You ever see them do that thing like you do with the
knife? Yeah.
And so basically, that's what I used to do to finish some of my knives. So that little 1-inch scallop belt that Red Label has is essentially the same thing. It's just going. You know, you can get that same kind of a contour finish.
So Wayne has, for the people that can't see what Wayne has, he has this giant Rambo crocodile. To hold that knife back up again.
Oh, this
crocodile.
is a little knife, man.
Okay, what's the handle material on that? It looks like some kind of stacked leather or something.
This is actually saturated hemp. There's fine black hemp, and then I've got overwraps of red hemp and white hemp.
Really?
This matches my first knife I had when I was like 3 or 4 years old.
Now, how do you finish that? Is that finished? Like, you gotta sand that down?
I'm gonna buff it a little bit more, and then I may put a coat of CA glue over it. But it's totally saturated all the way through. It feels fantastic.
Saturated in what?
Epoxy.
Oh, okay.
I'll wrap about an eighth of an inch, uh-huh, and then I saturate it. Then I'll wrap another eighth of an inch, saturate it. So it's almost like it's like a stabilized slab of hemp.
So as you're doing all these processes on these knives, because you've only been doing it for 3 years, where do you go for, like, are you just figuring this stuff out as you go?
Yeah, it's all in my head, man. Things come to me.
Really?
Yeah, weird shit. I just think of things, and
I mean, I'm not talking about the materials you use. I'm talking about the processes. Like, how would you know?
Well, because I don't have anyone to teach me this
stuff. Okay, you're literally just figuring it out.
So like even my scabbards and stuff, the way I make those 3-piece scabbards and do all the leather and the shackles and crap, it's just my process. I'm just evolving, and I think that's why my stuff looks so different. People tell me, they're like, dude, I can spot your style as soon as I see it. I don't even know it's your post, but I know it's your blade.
Yeah.
I think it's because not really being given a set of directions and having to go to my own, you know, I'm really outside of the box.
Right.
I think that's the biggest compliment.
Thanks for walking around your house the whole time.
Yeah.
By the way, I appreciate that. We can hear every footstep.
Hold on. I'll walk around here. I'm going to close this door.
I just turned the fucking mute off. But seriously, whenever someone says, I can pick out your stuff and lay things out on a table, and I know which one's yours, I think that's the biggest and the best compliment as a maker.
Yep.
Because we're all striving to make something our own. And early on, like, you know, I was getting into all this stuff. I was following this person, following that person, and I wasn't trying to copy them, but, like, you know, just kind of getting a foundation of, well, I like that, I don't like that. And then I was like, you know what? Fuck these guys. I'm going to unfollow fucking everyone, and I'm just going to do whatever I want to fucking do. And here I am today.
How do you come up with the names on your blades, Wade?
Because that's a good question.
You have they come to me, man. I'll tell you about it.
You didn't use my fucking name that I gave you. But didn't I say like the fucking booty or something like that?
What's funny is I don't always use pirate names on blades. But here's one right here. So I've got a sword that's in the works. No one's seen this sword yet. And y'all speaking about doing weird ass shit with animal material. I put human bone in this sword. There's actually a human femur in the actual sword.
Yeah, that's a little weird.
Theme. Yeah. My dog.
Wayne, can I stop you for a second, Wayne?
Yeah.
You're a weird motherfucker, dude.
I'm different.
You put real human bone in the handles.
Well, I put more than that. There's human bone in it. There's crushed moonstone. There's pure silver.
Oh wow.
So yeah, this sword.
Yeah, that's different.
So here's one of these ideas that I got. So
all right, let's hear.
Okay, so I hear this big super wolf moon's coming. It's the first full moon in January. I was like, fuck, I've got to forge something cool as shit. So I start forging a sword. I'm going at it with the power hammer. I'm forging the forge. I stretch his big-ass sword out. My buddy even comes over, and I'm like, fuck, where the hell's the full moon? It's like 9 o'clock at night. I'm getting ready to start heat cycling this blade, and there's no moon. I know it's a full moon, but there's clouds everywhere. So we get ready. We quench this blade. One of the cameras shuts off as soon as he's quenched. It's weird as shit. I don't know what the hell was going on. The wind started blowing. Like something.
Wait, you guys are filming this?
Yeah, it looked like something out of a movie, man. All of a sudden, everything was going really crazy. But, like, I was forging silver the week before, so there was silver all over the bottom of my forge. That silver rubbed all over that blade the whole time I was forging that sword under the moon. So it's totally coated in silver. Get this right. Okay. After I heat cycle it, I quench the blade. Then I temper it. I go outside. It's like 11 at night. The moon shows up. It's huge. It's creepy as hell. So I carry the sword air to take a video of it up under the moon, and the moon disappears as soon as I raise the sword.
Oh, God.
Freaky as shit. No, I'm not saying the sword did it, but I'm not saying the sword didn't do it. So here's the thing. Here's the thing. You know, you're talking about names and whatnot. So I took this sword. I finished grinding it out. I forged the guard and the pommel, the round pommel from some other anchor chain. And I grooved little holes in it. I spent 2 days, dude, just drilling little holes. Like, this little microscopic drill was doing it. And big holes. It looks like the lunar landscape. It's fucking crazy as hell.
Wait, is this something you're still working on that nobody's seen? Is that what you're talking about?
I just hid because I had people sending me weird messages. They said, that sword is made for me. You don't understand what you just made. And I was like, you know, like weird things will continue to happen to you until you sell that to me. I've got all these weird-ass messages.
Oh, my God. I can't even imagine.
People are saying, name your price, name your price. So I kind of just quit talking about it so people would forget about it. I didn't want to get like attacked over here, so it's hiding. It's hiding in the walls of my shop. I won't tell anybody exactly where it's at.
Holy fuck!
So I put about 6 ounces of pure silver into this blade. I stacked, and then I did like the hemp wrap. Got the wrought iron on there, and then the human femur. It was a femur that I ordered. Like it came from up north. And I've been waiting.
How do you fucking order a femur?
So I'm waiting for this. It's a beautiful looking femur. It looks great. I'm like,
is it like humanbones.com?
Yes.
You tell us what you want.
Yes, there's several places that sell human bones. Now, there's like three different states where you can't sell human body parts. Obviously, Florida's not one of those because we're fucking crazy down here. So I ordered this damn bone, and I'm waiting for this damn bone. I mean, I've got a boner waiting for this bone.
Oh my God.
So, I go to Home Depot because I go to Home Depot like 5 days a week. I'm always at Home Depot. I love that place. So I come driving home, and sure as shit, that's the time they deliver that fucking bone, and there's a ripped open box and a human bone laying at the end of my road. My 120-pound German Shepherd, all-black German Shepherd, whenever the mail guy dropped it off, he took that box, ripped it up, pulled the human bone out, and was laying out in the front yard chewing on it.
Oh my God.
He was chewing on a $200 femur. That motherfucker. So I get the damn femur, And luckily, he only chewed on the two ends of it. So I'm like, okay, I can still fucking work with this. So like, I'm in my shop, ready to handle thing. So I cut this human femur in half, dude. And like,
I don't even know what's going on right now.
This fucking dust explodes everywhere. It's like in my mouth. And then, like this bone could be like 200 years old. I don't know.
Oh my god!
Like, the inside of it, like disintegrated, where the bone marrow. Well,
they don't tell you who it comes from.
No. You don't. That's part of the fun.
You don't get a certificate of authenticity.
Oh my.
Yeah. Like, it's legit, man. But anyways, so I cut this open, and like where the marrow was at, it was just dust, and it gets everywhere. So after that gets done with, I clean it out. I'm like, okay, I'm going to make this thing super solid. I took JB Weld, and I mixed it JB Weld, and I packed the inside of the bone with JB Weld, and then I stuck it onto the tang, and then let it sit. So the bone is actually super strong because it's got all the JB Weld up inside too. So long story short, I do all that. Put the silver, I did a through tang, hammer through tang, and I put the silver and the moonstone, put that inside at the end of the hollow round pommel. And so, yeah, man, I've got to finish up this blade. But you're talking about how do I name this? So I start thinking about what's a good name. What's good? It comes to me. The name is Myth.
Myth.
You know what? After that story, you should have named the sword Meth, because it sounds like that's what you're on.
No, man. I'm telling you guys.
Fucking asshole.
When you ordered human bone, you might have been on some meth.
No, dude, just call me, man.
There has not been an episode where I have not called you a fucking asshole.
That's cool.
You'll see when it's done. I'm telling you, but some weird
Dude. I believe you.
Some weird shit has been going on with that thing.
So, let me ask you another question. Besides human bone, what are you making your blades out of? Are you ordering just material? Are you making – you don't seem to work in Damascus that much. Are you just doing monosteel blades? Are you doing found material?
Here's my story on that. I do everything. Sometimes I'll repurpose stuff. Like, I just made an integral out of a big ball bearing. You know, 52-100 chromium alloy carbon steel. Yep. So sometimes I'll repurpose. I'm not repurposing because I'm getting off cheaper. Because honestly, I can buy the best damn piece of steel for nothing.
Thank you for saying that.
The price is driven by all the hours. But sometimes it's just cool to be like, okay, this was a leaf spring or this was a thing. But even that. Heat treat is monumental. So whenever you take a leaf spring, it could be all kinds of spring stills.
Yeah.
I'll run it through my heat treat, my even heat. I'll do a snap test, check the grain structure, make sure that grain's nice and tight. And then I've got a really nice calibrated Rockwell hardest test.
Oh, cool.
Now that's just a test of indentation. So it's another assessment for whenever you're making blades. You know, Rockwell hardness isn't the end, because you can have 62 Rockwell hardness post-temper, and shitty grain makes a shitty fucking knife.
Right.
So, but yeah, I use a lot of mono steel, a lot of ADCRV2. ADCRV2 spring steel with added vanadium. The shit is badass. If you can pinpoint and get your heat treat down, the shit is, like, indestructible. So I use a lot of that. The Damascus that I use is whenever I forge it. But the problem is, all the hours I put into the Damascus, it's automatically going to make those knives cost a lot more.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, shit, if a full tang knife like this right here is going to run around $1,000 or so.
That's $1,000?
It'll be over $1,000. Yes, all the hours put to it and all the materials.
I'm in the wrong business.
The last bow we sold in minutes. Yeah, but I'm probably going to have, at the end of this, I'll have 40 hours worth of work in one blade, bro.
Yeah.
I don't sleep. I work like 16-hour days and I'm out there working. So, I mean, by the time you look at the materials, all the hours, and then you're getting taxed on the crap too. So you got, like I said.
I get it.
That's $1,000 knife. But like I'm saying, if I was to do that in Damascus, it would cost even more than that. But yeah, I like to use all kinds of materials. But heat treat is monumental.
Awesome.
No plug for even heat. No plug.
No, not at all. Now, I may be part of Team Even Heat as well.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Wait, like officially you are?
Yep, going to be working with them. Yep.
Wow, cool. Good for you.
Well, the thing was, my first blade that I did for Knife or Death was made out of M4. I sent it off to Peter's Heat Treat. I didn't tell anybody, but after I did the show and kicked ass, I came home and I was beating the shit out of this big old swamp oak. I chipped the edge of the blade, chipped it, looked like a damn dog bit a bite out of it. And that's whenever I realized, you know what? I'm going to be in control of my own heat treat. And that's whenever I really started. Not that Peters did a bad job. It's just, you don't know what the fuck you're doing. You've got to do it yourself, because, you know, a grain structure is monumental. You've got to get that tight grain structure. But then you tailor the geometry and the Rockwell hardness to what the intended use is. So I wanted total control over that. So yeah, I've been using Even Heat now for 2 years, and got to be friends with Spence at Even Heat. Mm-hmm. And so yeah, wow. start repping those guys. We're going to be rolling. I think I saw you at Matt and all you guys. Y'all just got like a 49 and a half incher, right?
I think so.
That's a freaking monster, dude. Yeah. So I think I'm going to be running. I've got a 31 inch right now, but I'm about to be running one of those, man. So if you guys got any questions,
we'll let you know how it works. Everything, all the swords they do are big. So
yeah, that's the way to do it, though.
Yeah,
jeez Louise.
Current sword they're working on is pretty large.
So just imagine fucking what did you call it? Wayno comp. What did you call it? Wayno
Castle L Wayno.
Castle L. So Castle L Wayno.
Or if you can't get that, Way Manor.
Oh my gosh.
So 3 years ago, you're a nurse. You're making good money. Things are going fine.
Yeah,
here's
my picture. Look at this shit.
You didn't have a beard. I guarantee you didn't have a beard.
I had a beard, man, but it wasn't this, like...
Oh, yeah. Look at that. You look like a normal human being. You don't look like you're ordering bones.
I love it, though, man, because I don't give a shit. So that's why I don't shave. The only time I got to shave is whenever I burn it off in the forge.
So awesome. Let me ask you... this is a very big question that everyone asks me. I'm sure people will ask you this, Chris. So, El Wayno... What was the moment, like, what pushed you over the edge to give you the confidence to go full-time?
I was struggling with it, man. Ever since about my year into making blades, people probably got tired of hearing me because I'd walk around the ICU. I'd be coding a patient and then talking about knives, doing this and talking about blades. And I always had this big vision of eventually selling my blades. And, man, I think I can make this a full-time job, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, I told myself when I went to Forged and Fire, at a year and a half experience, I said, if I win Forged and Fire, that's going to be my sign that I should go full time. So I went, that was it last December, and I won it, but my episode didn't air until August, but I won. But I was still too big of a pussy to go full time because I was like, man, I'm making this job, making good money. Why don't I walk away from this, you know? So yeah. it got to be like March of last year. I was sitting right here in this exact chair, and I was working for Humana, insurance utilization. And my back was starting to hurt me from sitting in a damn chair, sitting 8 hours a day, just sitting here. And I went out my balcony, man, and this may sound crazy. I looked up at the sky and I said, just give me a fucking sign, just something. I know I've already asked for a sign. I know that I already said if I win Forged and Fire, but I looked up at the sky and said, just give me a sign. I came back in here, man. Within 20 minutes of doing that shit, I get an email from the History Channel again.
Okay.
I can't speak about all that stuff, but basically... Eventually, you may eventually see me back on Forged and Fire.
What was your final build that you won your show with?
Falchion.
Oh, no kidding. They just finished one of those in the shop today.
Yep, I made a big...
Stop for a second. How the fuck do you know what that is? I don't even know what
that's
the fuck
the
that
only
is.
Reason I know what that is. Because they sent it to this guy.
Chris is not a knife guy. He's like, swords. And then episode, he was like, well, they put the pommel on here.
Falchion's a badass, dude. It's like a big ass medieval machete. It's so unique because there's only one sharp inside, and it's just like a big ass chopper, man. The thing
do you watch YouTube at all, Wayne?
I watch a little bit. I got a YouTube channel, but I haven't really dedicated. I watched Man at Arms a lot. That's how I got to know Ilya and Matt.
Yeah. Do you know this guy named Skalgrim that tests other people's swords and knives? Okay. He's got this huge YouTube channel and where he tests out weapons, and they just made him a Falchion and sent it to him. And I guess he reviews it and tests it and takes it through all the paces. I don't know.
Have y'all seen my cut test on those big hogs?
Yes, I have.
I don't think so.
You should check those out.
I didn't know who you were until tonight. I knew who you were, but I didn't know who you were.
Yeah, I started following you like a couple weeks ago when I got in on board with Red Label.
Yeah.
I was like, well, who's the rest of my Red Label brothers?
So there you go.
I tell you out and everyone else. But yeah, man, we got a hell of a crew, though. Hell of a crew, man.
So Warcrown reached out to me, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago. He wants to do a build with me.
Sorry, go ahead.
So kind of along the same lines that you and I were talking about last, was that last week that you and I were chatting? Or no, that was Thursday because I had to go to the fucking hospital to get a scan. So I was chatting with you on the way to the freaking hospital about collaborations. So for the freaking record, anyone out there listening to fucking internet land, I am not doing any fucking collaborations
anymore.
So the only two that I'm going to do is one with you that you and I talked about, Wayne, and then one with Warcrown. I'm not doing any more fucking trades. I'm not doing anything. I just had a very, very bad experience, and I'm fucking done with them. It's horse shit.
Yes.
Right on. So, all right. There you go. Well, there you go. And that's that.
So.
Wait, you did one with me.
Yes. So that's a little bit different. Completely different. I'm talking act stuff. I don't want anyone's. No one. I don't. If anyone's listening, don't send me a head. Right. So, hey, let's partner up on this. I'll give you the head and you make the handle and we'll split everything 50-50. No fucking way. I'm not fucking doing it any goddamn more.
Right?
It's not happening. I've got 800 fucking axes. If I don't have one that I can build myself, I'm not fucking doing it. I don't need your goddamn head. Thank you for the offer.
Man, I appreciate it, brother.
I
really, imagine that. Roy's preaching about something.
So here's another. Did you see my little live video yesterday, Chris, where I went on a fucking rant?
Yeah, I wouldn't even have gave that guy a live video.
Fuck that guy. Fuck him.
I wouldn't even have gave him the time of day.
I didn't see the video, but fuck that guy.
Don't get him started.
I did a video about the fucking eraser on the belts, which worked. Like seriously, I use that thing all the time. And he said,
You let those people get you way too worked up.
What did you say?
I wouldn't even respond to him.
So
he said, you know, that's for wood, not metal, way to go, move, or something like that.
I said, listen, if you use your grinder for wood and metal like I do, this eraser thing is fucking amazing. And I cleaned the belt and I was like, I'm ready to go. And he said, oh, don't you know that's called a belt sander? It's not made for metal, you fucking idiot. And my response was, you're joking, right? And then he came back with this whole big fucking thing, and I just unloaded on this guy.
Yeah, it was
like,
it was
how
stupid.
The fuck?
That guy didn't have a clue what he was talking about.
And don't come onto my fucking page and criticize me. Get the fuck out of my face.
Well, that's what he wants to do, man. He wants to get you worked up. I ignore those stupid fucks, man.
So do I.
Because if you don't ignore them, dude, the little fuckers just keep coming back.
I know. I just block them instantly and delete their comment like they never even existed.
Little cocksuckers, man.
I hate them. I fucking hate them. All right.
All right. Well, this is the part in the show where we like to give somebody a shout out. Roy.
No, you go first. You go get it. I haven't thought about this yet. Yeah, go.
Oh, okay.
I'll go.
Okay.
Broad River Knives. He's my friend, Byron.
Byron.
From Broad River.
Broad River Knives.
Oh, fuck yeah. You got a sticker right goddamn there. Fucking yeah.
Nice.
So he is a super freaking nice guy. He does great work. He did a chef's knife for me last year. He came to Blade Show. He actually worked my fucking table with me. Follower turned friend. He's got a regular full-time job. He does axes and knives on the side. My chef's knife was made from a rasp or something that he found on his farm. He's just an all-around good fucking guy. I love that guy. So,
what's his Instagram name again?
Broad River Knives.
No underscores or nothing?
Oh, yeah. Like underscores between the words.
Okay. Underscores in between Broad River Knives.
Yep.
All right. I'm going to give a shout out to these guys from the Austin Mobile.
Oh, my God.
Mobiles. These are fake.
He's got bones. He's got bones.
These are fake ones.
You're a weirdo. All right, I just got back from Texas, and I went to the Austin Forging Competition.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Amazing. And we didn't talk about it. I totally forgot to say anything about it. But anyway, Haley Woodward and a guy named Evan put on the event, and a guy named Colby. I can't give them all their names out, but, yeah, great event. And Haley Woodward on Instagram is the MC of the whole event. He's a blacksmith down there with ACC, Austin Community College, and he runs the blacksmithing. He's actually the teacher for the metal department there. And they put on a kick-ass event. You can find him on Instagram at Haley Woodward.
I saw you were hanging out with Andrew down there also.
Oh, yeah, he came. He might as well have had a 55-gallon drum of hand sanitizer with him.
Oh, my God.
So freaked out about the coronavirus. But, jeez. Yeah, no, we had a great time. It was kind of, I mean, there was a lot of people flying in, and you just didn't think about it. It didn't matter. We were all there to have a good time. Who do you got, Wayne?
A guy that, you know, that I started following back when I first got into bladesmithing was Michael Hoops.
Cold Township Forge.
Yeah, really, really kick-ass dude, and he's a good friend of mine. And, you know, back whenever I was getting into it, he had been at it a little bit, but we've kind of just grown in our crafts together. I use several of his hammers that he's forged for me and tools. And just a really cool guy. Makes really unique work.
This is all making sense now. He made you a hammer and called it like the Pirate's Hammer or something like a year ago or something. Yeah.
Pirate Forge Edition, like just a big.
Yes.
He used like a little copper. I'm not sure what they call that, but Roy knows. But, you know, you put copper that wedge in the top of the copper axe wedge. Or whatever it is around the hammer. And then there's like a little piece of metal you put in there. So he used copper for that. And then he like.
Yeah, that's like his signature move. I got a couple of his hammers that he has.
Yeah, he did like the stripes down the side of it. But yeah, I took a 6-pound hammer his to forge some fire.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of skull type hammers.
Yeah, he just started doing that not too long ago, actually.
It's really cool.
He's incorporating him into his hammers. Yeah, Mike's an awesome guy. I've known him for a couple years now.
He makes skull anvils, too. Skull anvils.
Yeah. Yep.
So he's from Ohio. You know what part of Ohio is he from?
He's about 20 minutes from Troy. I know that.
Oh, really? Was he down there? Was he at the meet?
Yeah.
Did I meet him?
I don't think so. No, he actually came the day after you left. He usually comes, because you came on a Thursday, he comes on like a Friday, I think.
Oh, he's got some really cool stuff on here.
Yep, Michael Hoops. Yeah. What is it, Michael? It's michael.hoops.bs or something.
Underscore BS.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Some unique stuff, but like I said, he's another guy that you can kind of look at his work and identify.
Absolutely. I mean,
he's got a signature style, his hammers look, and but it's cool, too, because, you know, he's evolving. You kind of see the hammers he was making a couple years ago and what he's making now. It's pretty cool to see the evolution of a craftsman, you know. Awesome.
We all go through it, and hopefully we continue to go through it.
Hell
over
yeah!
Over and over.
Hell yeah! Are y'all all right. Full time? Y'all all full time Smiths? I know.
I'm not a Smith. Wait. I'm a fucking.
you're an axe Smith. You're an axe Smith.
I don't know what I fucking. I mean, I'm a full time axe restorer.
Yeah. Yes.
We're a craftsman. We're all making a living with our hands.
Yep. Yes. Yes.
I mean, according to those, yes.
Yeah. Fucking those. Things.
Yeah, I mean, he's what real hands supposed to look like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
All right, that is a wrap on the Axe and Iron podcast. Wayne Melligan from Pirate Forge, thank you so much for being here.
Seriously,
on, sir.
Thank you. That was
awesome. Yeah, thanks for having me, man.
Talking good, femur bones and full moon and silver.
You guys only scratched the surface of the fucking craziness that is Pirate Forge.
Well, we're going to have to have you on for part three and four, it sounds like.
Oh, God. All right, thanks a lot. Take care.
Thank you, Wayne.
All right, later.
Later, bro.